Manx Radio's Countryside is brought to you by NFU Mutual.
Hello and welcome to this week's Countryside. Here on Manx Radio, I'm Simon Clark.
And I'm Kerry Kermode. On Saturday, I went along to the Federation of Beekeeping's auction in St John's. And we also hear from the Young Farmers pre the Young Farmers concert.
I talked to Alan Hiscox, who's the Director of Safety at the British Horse Society, to find out more about their Dead Slow campaign. Well, Kiri, it's been a bit of sunshine. The ground isn't really hard yet, but at least there's been a little bit of break in the rain. Some flowers come out, the spring flowers coming out, and just getting near that time where the bees will be out and about too.
This is it. Yeah, it's nice to see the wild garlic coming up. Some of the early blossoms are starting to come out in around Santon there. It's always nice to see the people getting out in the countryside with a daffodil walk at Port Greenock. But also, there was lots of cheery faces over at St John's, where I went along to a bee auction. Now, this was all different bits and pieces, items, beehives, PPE and jars. And I caught up with Harry Owens, the president of the Beekeepers. Well, here we are with Harry Owens. Well, Harry, you're never too far away from these beekeeping events.
Extremely so. Yeah, I always am, aren't I?
The president of the Federation of Beekeepers here on the Isle of Man. A great turnout at this auction.
Yeah, I'm absolutely delighted. I mean, they were looking for bargains, and they were very big bargains. But, yeah, what a turnout.
And a good
terrific
sale.
Oh, yeah. I mean, yeah, they were bargains, but we still did quite well out of it.
So you know. Where did all the items come from? Because it's everything you could ever want for beekeeping.
Well, all these items were part of the federation, which is the three associations come together in the federation, you see. And it all started with a beekeeper called Tom Williamson. He was an old vet from Midlands, and he came over. And he started trying to bee breed and all this sort of thing. And he had hives all over the place. And we were bequeathed them. And that was the Western Association. And they were in a heck of a state.
Oh, no.
They were all in a dreadful state.
Yeah.
So we decided that we would offer the bees to the Federation. So that started the ball rolling. This long story.
This is it.
So what happened then? We decided we'd give them to the Federation, and the Federation in turn decided they'd get hives, better hives or new hives, and set them up on a site for teaching people. And that was the idea, and that was at Shen Harrah.
Oh, yeah, just along
here.
The road here,
uh-huh.
St John's, yeah.
So somebody had the bright idea that it might be a problem with the bees stinging people walking along the railway line, which it isn't.
No, goodness me.
Because I've got bees actually at Shen Harrah, and they don't bother anybody.
Well, this is it. They seem quite happy down there, don't they?
Yeah, so the idea was they found the old school at on the hill at Crosby.
Right.
Okay. And they asked the education department, would they allow them to use the grounds? And that they did, and they got permission, and they put a hut there, and they set it all up for teaching beekeepers or new beekeepers in the island. But it just didn't work.
Oh, never.
It was a bit of a bleak sight for starters. It's like Wuthering Heights
yeah,
there.
Yeah, it is, isn't it? Yeah.
You know, so they decided after, and it must be 5 years or more, maybe longer, that it just wasn't working. People were not turning up, and people weren't getting charged. So we came to the decision this last month or so that we'd dispose of all the stuff and give the benefit of the beekeepers a chance to buy the stuff at a reasonable price. As you see today, this has happened.
Well, I never, but some of the stuff, like you say, it's a bit of age on it, but it can come in handy.
But God, I mean, if you look at it, it's old. Well, that all the equipment there, like the clothing, is all right,
it's
you know,
brand new,
bit of a tweak here and there, and all the other bits and everything, they're all usable.
Absolutely.
So I mean, instead of buying new, you're buying half price or less. I mean, what we one of the things we do, you're talking about training. I've been instrumental in bringing eminent beekeepers from across, from a good buddy of mine from Northern Ireland, Michael Young, and another a guy called Patterson. Roger Patterson.
Of
course you did.
What a wealth of knowledge, isn't
it? Yeah, absolutely. So this funds that sort of thing as well, you see. See, I mean, the amount of money that you pay in a capitation fee is not a great lot. But when you have funds like this adding to the bundle, you can do something. So, you know, that's the reason behind it, the thoughts behind it.
But that said, that there's a good turnout here today, and obviously they're all in for a bargain. But like you say, it's great to see a mix of ages as well.
Oh God, yes. Yeah. And I mean, it doesn't matter by age how experienced they are, you know. Some could be just starting, you know. Yeah, and they're getting a cup of tea as well.
Wow, that's the best bit, isn't it? Well, Harry, the most important thing is, how are the bees doing out there?
They're doing exceedingly well. I mean, as you know, we're so fortunate here. You're in farming, you know about disease and so forth like that. And the island is blessed by the fact that we don't have any of these confounded diseases or whatever. But the only thing that's frightening everybody in the UK is these blumination hornets.
Oh.
And they are something to be worried about big time.
Have they been sort of increasing in the last sort of 5 years or more?
Well, they've been, in the last couple of years down south of England, they've appeared. Oh yeah, they're active in the south of England. Unfortunately, they are, and the actual nest they make, you know, like a wasp's nest, like paper thing about a football size.
Oh yes, yes.
Well, these things are about the size of they can go to the size of a dustbin.
Never.
Oh, aye.
Oh my word.
And they're made of the same stuff, paper, you know. Yeah.
And what will they do? Will they actively go out and hunt down the bees?
Well, come on, yeah. They'll hunt bees, they'll hunt all the insects that pollinate an insect, any insect at all, they'll predate them to feed the young. Oh, yeah.
And then multiply on.
Well, yeah, it's like, I don't know if you've ever seen these snakes in the Everglades, how they've multiplied, and these pythons, as they call them. And it's wiping out all the wildlife. Well, the same thing scenario would happen with the Asian hornet. It would be it would predate so much of the fauna that there'd be nothing left. The pollinators and all that would be really, really badly hit.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's a worry.
So what are they doing to try and mitigate? Are they
They're watching for them, and they will endeavour to destroy as many as they can, but it's like an avalanche, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, it's trouble. Well, some of the areas are quite remote. There's people not walking through there. They might not even be seen, might they?
Yeah.
But, and how are the bees through all of this wet winter?
Oh, not a problem. As soon as the weather's bright, about 6 degrees centigrade, they're out.
Well, it's supposed to be mild enough for them then, has it?
Oh, yeah. I can tell they're out because they go and poo on my cars. They go over...
So with the winters warming up then, Harry, how are they finding it? Are they adapting the bees with it all?
Yeah, they seem to be adapting. I worry about the birds, because they nest and everything, but the bees is like a little colony getting on with things, you know. If it's there, they'll have it.
Yeah. And what was the honey like this year?
Excellent. Oh, very good, yeah.
Very good.
You all sell it to odd people and that, and we get people remarking about how good it is compared to away, you know.
Oh, the Manx honey is beautiful.
Nothing. And
nothing,
we're biased.
But it is. It's something special about it. You know,
there
yourself
is.
When you're away, you do try local honey. And when we were in Ireland, we did try some, but it's just not quite got that touch that the Manx stuff
has. It's not the same.
It's not.
No, I think it's got down to us the way our farming is. I mean, we haven't got prairies of this, that, and the other like they have in the UK. And the diversity of vegetation makes all that difference.
So have you got a busy year ahead for the beekeeping gang?
I probably have, yes. I'm getting on with it. I'm waiting for a new hip.
You're not.
Oh, I've been waiting for blooming since last September.
Oh, no.
So I don't know if Manx care. I don't think they do, actually.
Oh, no, but it's not hindering you too badly.
No,
you're still getting about it.
It's not stopping me, no. I'm, courageously getting on with it, in other words. And, one of the beauties of it, I know so many people and I've been involved, and it all, they all help me as I help them. Yeah. It's brilliant.
Well, I think it's a lovely organisation. Yeah. Everyone's so friendly. They always welcome us always to these events.
Oh, yeah.
Time for a piece of cake?
Oh, God, yes. And a cup of tea, of course.
Come on. There we go. That was Harry Owens, the president of the Isle of Man Beekeeping Federation.
mighty man, Harry, isn't he? He's been involved with it so long, and he's just got that way with people, hasn't he? Whether they're being experienced at beekeeping or they're new to it.
Oh, absolutely. He's a joy to talk to, and he's always so happy. But there he was. The hall was packed full of people, and he was overjoyed to get out and about the first day of spring, I suppose.
Yeah, and happy with the honey that's happened the last time.
Yeah, the honey's been good. The bees are happy. So, yeah, let's hope that it got a good year ahead for them.
Well, the Isle of Man is, it's got quite a lot of rural areas where people like to get out and about on their bicycles, whatever, walking, and also on the horses as well. Well, there's been a number of accidents in the UK over recent times, so much so that the British Horse Society have put forward and adopted some changes which the UK government have put into the UK Highway Code. To get it from the horse's mouth, so to speak, I spoke to Alan Hiscox, who's the Director of Safety at the British Horse Society. So firstly, Alan, it's fair to say that safety for horses and horse riders in the UK is not improving that much, looking at the statistics.
No, you're quite right. You know, we gather stats. We ask horse riders and carriage drivers to record incidents with us. And yeah, in the UK, you know, there's been 66 horses that have been killed, and 86 are injured, and 3 equestrians have been killed. And I know that in the Isle of Man, that there have been some incidents reported to us, and riders in the Isle of Man have actually, you know, said to us that, you know, it is still challenging riding a horse on the roads, and there is, you know, I know horse drivers don't want to be intimidating, but it is intimidating if a horse is passed at you know, a fast speed and too close.
Yeah, is it, do the statistics go as far as mentioning whether they're heavy goods or cars or motorbikes or anything like that?
We don't do a deep dive into the stats, but generally it's cars. We find that HGV drivers generally are pretty good, as are motorcyclists. And I know that obviously the Isle of Man has a very big event over there. And we came over to the Isle of Man TT a few years ago, and speaking to motorcyclists, as they are vulnerable road users as well as us, you know, we find that motorcyclists are pretty good. So generally, it's car drivers. And what we're finding is that, you know, they don't want to be intimidating or cause, you know, a horse issues. They just don't know how to pass a horse safely. And that's why with our Dead Slow campaign, you know, we're offering 4 very simple messages to try and inform and sort of guide drivers. So that's, if I see a horse on the road, then I will slow down to a maximum of 10 miles an hour. You know, I will be patient. I won't sound my horn or rev my engine. I will, when safe to do so, pass the horse wide and slow at least 2 meters and drive slowly away. And we're finding that when those messages are understood by drivers, there's the whole involvement with drivers, and they think, yes, I now know that I can pass horses safely.
Is it the fact that the actual vehicles are colliding with them, or more so that they're scaring the animals and they're rearing up?
Well, there was a collision on the Isle of Man last year, and a horse was injured and a rider was injured. But this is the other factor, that when vehicles go past horses, they may well be unaware that they've caused the horse problem, and they just drive away. I mean, horses are flight animals, and they can react to anything. You know, a crisp packet in the side of the road, or a bird flying up. So, you know, that's the other thing. They are flight animals. They've got incredibly sensitive eyesight, and that is one of the main reasons why we're asking for that 10 miles an hour and that 2 meters distance.
And I suppose, Alan, a lot of focus over recent years has been introducing different rules for passing cyclists. But does that mean that the horse riders and the horses have been forgotten a little bit, maybe?
Well, we were included into the Highway Code review in the UK, and that's where certain rules were put into the Highway Code in the UK, and we're you know, we're hoping that the Isle of Man Highway Code maybe follows those, given that advice for the 10 miles an hour and the 2 meters distance. But yes, we were when all the messages came out, we know that a lot of people, when they talk about Highway Code changes, they think, oh, it's something about cyclists, isn't it? Well, actually, you know, horses are vulnerable road users as well, and they deserve, you know, perhaps even more attention than cyclists. So it's also a two-way street, you know, no pun intended. You know, horse riders need to take their responsibilities seriously on the road as well, and that's wearing high-vis clothing and being aware as they ride. Think about the time of day. Think about that low sun when it's out. So there's responsibilities for riders, but also for drivers, and we're hoping to, you know, inform, involve, guide, and persuade the drivers on how to pass horses safely.
Now, the website for the British Horse Society has got bits and pieces, and certainly a focus on how to keep Britain riding safely. And there's information there, and also methods of reporting incidents as well.
Yeah, by all means, go onto our website, you know, bhs.org.uk, and there's lots of information there. And yeah, we do encourage riders and carriage drivers to record incidents to us, because then we can build up this whole sort of realistic picture of what's happening on the roads. And I know the Isle of Man Police Service, you know, take this this issue very, very seriously as well, and they can look at where these incidents have been reported to the BHS. We have an app, a Horse Eye app, that is downloadable, free to download, and it takes about 3 minutes with a drop-down menu to record where these incidents are happening. And we will absolutely share any information of where the hotspots are with the Isle of Man Police.
Alan Hiscox, the Director of Safety there at the British Horse Society, there on the phone line. But I thought it was important to get a piece just with that campaign that they're running at the moment with the Dead Slow. And the figures quite astounding, particularly in the UK. But over here, touch wood, it doesn't seem that bad, although there are quite a number of incidents, and obviously some of them probably going unreported as well. But the British Horse Society, with their website and their apps, that you can put forward concerns mainly about it. And the Isle of Man, you know, even for motorists, a difficult place, isn't it, when you come around corners sometimes. Even if you're not going that fast, it can be difficult. You can come on them quite quickly, Kerry, can't you?
That is it, absolutely. And all of the equestrian people are very careful and mindful of where they do take their horses. But even with our small, windy roads, you know, they can be dangerous places. It is such a shame that anybody comes across an incident like that, but I'm glad to see somebody's doing something about it, and maybe it'll come into our highway code too.
You're listening to Countryside here on Manx Radio with Kerry Kermode and myself, Simon Clark. Well, the Young Farmers Concert is going to be starting on Thursday, and, well, find out whether all the tickets are sold. Kerry, you caught up with the Federation Secretary?
Bridie Neal is always an enthusiastic young lady and part of the Federation Committee. A great committee they are, and they're making such a good effort with the Young Farmers Movement to carry on into the future. So today we're joined in the studio with the Federation of Young Farmers. Now you're all looking very keen and bright-eyed and bushy-tailed, ready for the concert.
It's coming very quick.
Well, that aside for a moment, we'll talk about the recent events that you've had. The Young Farmers are always really busy, Emily, and in the start of 2024 has been no exception.
No, absolutely. After a busy 2023 period, finishing off with our penultimate event, the Christmas Tractor Run, started off with individual public speaking down at Laxey Work and Men's Institute. Great new venue for us, kindly hosted by Easton, judged by Adrian Cole and Jenny Garrett. Lots of members sort of getting the practice in for the concert, public speaking, lots of topics and things talked about. Then we did our annual Stubbs quiz competition, juniors and seniors get involved. Dave Thompson, Philip Hampton, you know, quiz masters for the last few years, doing a great job. And then clay shooting come back again this year, new venue.
Wow, yeah.
We went up to Clay Target Club, kindly organised by the committee and the team there with Martinine's help. And, you know, great Brilliant, to have that yeah. event back after about 5 years. So, no, always busy. And then, of course, concert practice in between them.
Yeah, no rest for the wicked. And, Michael, you're from the Central Young Farmers. Are you all ready for the concert?
Yeah, I think we're just about getting ready now. We've got our last practice tonight down in the hall. I believe Northern are in the theatre tonight. So, yeah, it's all go. We're getting the dancing shoes ready. Yeah. I think we're doing a costume practice tonight, so we'll see how that goes.
But that said, you know, the concert is only a small part of the Young Farmers calendar, and lots of events to come, Michael.
Yeah, there's loads of events to come. So this year we're lucky enough to be hosting the Stockman, which is a big event. We're going to have clubs from the UK coming over to compete on the island in stock judging. So that's a massive event for us to be hosting. There's a lot of organising involved in that. And there'll be lots of other stock judgings going on over the rest of the year. We've got obviously the sheep, the beef, the dairy, and also we do a one-off one. Sometimes it's pig, sometimes
mystery
it's
round, yeah,
mystery
yeah.
round. Mystery round, yeah. So there's plenty going on. And then club events as well. There'll be some social events also.
As always. The Young Farmers are never too far away from a social event. And Bryony, you've been leading it all as the Secretary of the Federation of Young Farmers.
Yes, yeah, happy as ever to be doing it. It's a great job. Obviously, it's very busy, but very rewarding as well when you see everyone enjoying all the events and socials that we put on or the clubs put on. And then, obviously, it all leads up to the concert. That's our biggest event. We have so much support as well. So, you know, it's great to put it on for the public, and this year is no different. So we're all very excited. Just can't believe how fast it's come round.
It really, really has. And I know I caught up with you in the Welcome Centre a couple of weeks ago, and you hadn't quite decided who your charities were just then, but have you got a charity this year?
Yes, we have. Our Vice Chair, Michael, do you want to let them know?
Yes, so I chose this year Bridge the Gap. So they're a great local charity based up at Nobles. They've got a great space for young people from about 10 till about 20. Just as they say, bridge the gap in between, you know, the children's ward and going into adults' wards. And they really provide a great service on the island.
The Young Farmers Concert, like you say, there's such a build-up for it. You have the sponsors and the judges as well for those three nights.
Yeah, absolutely. We couldn't do it without the support from Conister Bank, and new for this year, the Isle of Man Creamery. So we're really excited to have them on board, and the relationship between both companies and ourselves has been really good and very positive. So it's very exciting. And then obviously all of our usual and new programme sponsors that help, you know, with everything and put their businesses in the programme, come along to help and support. So it's great to have them this year, and just getting all that organised, you know. Yeah, it's no mean feat, but it's so worth it. And it's going to be a long week, don't get me wrong, going down to the Gaiety Theatre every night from tonight to get everyone sorted and make sure all the admin's done and this, that and the other. But yeah, it's so worth it. Once Thursday, Friday, Saturday comes, everyone has a really good time.
This is it. And Emily, would there be many tickets left? Is it too late to get some?
No, definitely not too late. They might be in short supply, though. If you head over to the Villa Gaiety website, I'm sure there'll still be some there. I think for the Thursday, Friday, there might be the odd few. Saturday's usually always sold out within...
Yeah, I think it's gone, days, hasn't it? There's nothing
yeah.
there, yeah.
But yeah, no, keep an eye out. You know, if we get any tickets through the Federation, we'll be certainly putting them on the Facebook page to advertise. So yeah, don't lose hope if you haven't got one.
This is it. And Bryony, just finally, what is the Facebook page or contact for yourself to get these tickets?
Yeah, you can just find us at Isle of Man Young Farmers on Facebook, or you can email iomyoungfarmers@outlook.com and we'll get back to you. Or alternatively, you can give me a call on 417705 and I'll try and get you some tickets if we've got any left or any swimming around. But yeah, they're hot. So hopefully everyone's got theirs already.
There we go. That was the Federation of Young Farmers. Bryony Neal, the secretary there, talking about the concert tickets going on sale.
Yeah, good luck to everyone who's involved in it, young and old, all sorts of experience. And let's just hope that it's going to be a little bit of Mickey taken and that everyone enjoys themselves. And, you know, the camaraderie's been good over recent years, so keep it up. That's all from Countryside. Next week on the programme, we will have a Young Farmer special. We'll be talking to some of the chairmen and people involved and the prize winners from the Young Farmers Concert 2024 on next week's Countryside. And, well, judges, secretaries, maybe even the Gaiety staff. So stick around for that one next week at 6 o'clock. But until then, from me, Simon Clark.
And me, Kiri Kermode.
We'll see you next week. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.